Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Hey, welcome to Baseball Central for Tuesday, June 30th, the day before Canada Day. We will we won't be here tomorrow for Canada Day because it'll be NHL Free Agency Day. This is Jeff Blair alongside Kevin Barker for your listening and viewing pleasure.
Hello.
Barker's the guy in the short sleeve shirt.
Yeah. The guy not talking. That's the guy not talking. That's
anyhow.
You're talking and thanks, Travis.
Ben Wagner, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons, the Blue Jays AAA affiliate, will be joining us in a few minutes. And Matt Boyd, who made his Major League debut on Saturday for the Blue Jays, he will be along at the bottom of the hour. We'll get you set for tonight's game, game two of a four-game series between the Jays and the Boston Red Sox. It'll be Marco Estrada on the mound for the Blue Jays against Eduardo Rodriguez, the Red Sox. Good. I was going to say he's a good young pitcher. He's been an impressive pitcher in the early going of his career. The Jays, of course, coming off a 3-1 loss to the Red Sox last night. And Clay Buchholz, who's, I guess you could say he's had the Jays number for a while now. Clay Buchholz gets the win. Ari Dickey, Kevin Barker pitched pretty well in the loss. One bad inning with R.A. Dickey. And that's, I mean, sometimes you're going to see that.
Mm-hmm. Well, third inning, he walked the leadoff hitter, gave up a single, walked a third guy, and then gave up a double. That's the worst inning he had. It was because he wasn't throwing strikes at the time. Russell Martin had a real tough time catching the knuckleball, which tells me that that thing was moving everywhere, all quadrants of that strike zone. And, you know, when that happens, it's real tough for everybody to either call it if you're an umpire, catch it if you're a catcher, and know where it's going if you're R.A. Dickey. So I think he did a good job yesterday.
Yeah, R.A. On a couple of occasions was pretty obvious that he didn't agree with the strike zone. But, yeah, that gets to the point. Sometimes when you're a knuckleball pitcher, part of the issue is that it's not just hard for the hitter to hit. It's not just hard for the catcher to catch. It's hard for the umpire as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Is this an issue now? What is it? Four games we've seen from the Jays so far. The offense. The Jays are hitting 143. They're 12 for 84. You know, this is a team that we're used to seeing score 5.5 runs a game. Maybe a little less than 5.5 runs a game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a team that is certainly, Kevin, capable of exploding for a lot of runs. And now we're in a four-game run where they're hitting 143. And Greg's on, and you've made the same point. It's great to have, and I don't want to get into a small ball, you know, home run discussion here, but you do have to be able to win 3-1 games and 3-2 games as they did on Sunday if you want to have success.
Well, you do. But again, on occasion, you have to take your hats off to the opposing pitcher.
Yeah.
I mean, you face Tampa Bay, which is a fastball changeup kind of team that throws a lot of strikes. That's why they're up in the East, is because they can pitch. Texas is very good. They have very good pitchers. They have a good bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And now Clay Buchholz is last night. That's why he was the ace of the Red Sox. That's why they made him one of the best pitchers, is because he can throw five. Was he throwing five pitches yesterday for strikes?
He looked really good, and he's a guy. I mean, he's a guy that I don't know what if the Jays have a version of Clay Buchholz. He's a guy that drives the people in Boston nuts because he's got great stuff.
Yeah,
but man, it's and when he faces the Jays, he looks very much like an ace most of the time. But there are other times you just don't know what you're going to get out of it.
Well, he throws a straight fastball. He throws a cutter, a sinker, a changeup, a slider, and his breaking ball, which is his dominant out pitch, is the breaking ball. And I think when he struggles is because he's not throwing the breaking ball for strikes. Yesterday, he was flipping the breaking ball 0-0 counts to get ahead with it, and then he would throw a slider to get guys out. He would throw changeups a lot to right-handed hitters. When he's working like that to all parts of the plate, he's very hard to hit. That's why it's baseball. You know, I mean, everybody says, well, they're not scoring 5 or 6 runs a game because it's baseball. You're facing the best pitchers in the world on an every night basis. You're not going to go out and score that many runs. You know, a lot of baseball on times are a luck. They've been hitting a lot of balls hard, not having a lot of luck on that side of the ball. You know, I don't think the offense is one of the things that we should be worried about.
Right.
Consistently they're going to score enough runs to win games. And, you know, they're not going to win every day. You have to go out and sometimes last night Clay was, he was being Buchholz, and you have to tip your hat on occasion.
Did you have any problem with the pitch that R.E. Dickey threw to Xander Bogaerts?
The fastball?
Yeah.
Well.
I mean, John Gibbons said that and I don't think he was being critical necessarily of R.E. Dickey. He said that he thought R.E. Dickey tried to sneak a fastball by him. R.E. told the reporters after the game, no, I wasn't trying to sneak it by him. I mean, there was a plan. There was a plan to throw in it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in that situation, I kind of felt for R.E. Dickey because bases loaded. By that point, R.E. Dickey knows in the back of his mind that I'm not going to get a lot of breaks from the home plate umpire tonight. Like, he really was in a corner.
Well,
really was in a corner. When you're down, and I didn't really have a problem with him throwing the fastball there.
Well, I think there's certain times to throw it. I'm not sure I'd throw it bases loaded because you are a knuckleball guy. I mentioned earlier that the knuckleball was moving all over the place. I think I would rather see him go after the guy with his best pitch. That's his knuckleball. Maybe show the fastball for not a strike. That may be
okay.
Not maybe your first pitch trying to get ahead. You can understand it if that's his best pitch. But bases loaded, I want to get beat with my best pitch. A fastball is not my best pitch. So, you know, I think it's, it's when you throw it and not how you throw it sometimes. And I think that's one of those things where you learn from it. If you're R.A. Dickey, again, they say it was a plan. I think we'd have to ask what was the plan with the bases loaded. You're throwing a secondary pitch to get a guy out. I'm not sure we'll see that again.
You mentioned the Jays hitting the ball hard and not having a lot to show for it.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, Jose Bautista is now 0 for 21, 0 for his last 21. Keep in mind, these are the starters. He's faced two teams with good bullpens in Tampa and in Texas. Beyond that, the starters, Chris Archer, he's 2 for 21 lifetime against Archer. Nate Karns, good young hard thrower. Nick Martinez, Giovanni Gallardo, he faced as a starter. He's now 1 for 10 against him. Chichi Gonzalez hasn't seen him. Clay Buchholz, he's 14 for 56 with a home run against Clay Buchholz. Not horrible, but bottom line is Jose Bautista's 0 for 21 against some pretty good starting pitchers and against a couple of good bullpens. And my question to you, Kevin, he is hitting the ball hard. How much does that give a guy confidence when he's in a statistical funk? You know, 0 for 21. How much confidence as a hitter, or how much comfort as a hitter do you take from the fact that, yeah, the numbers aren't there, but man, I'm making good contact?
I don't. If you're Jose Bautista, I don't think it matters. I think results are what matters. It gets back to the player. If you're a younger guy, you're hitting the ball hard. Maybe that means a little bit of something. When you're an older guy, you expect results. Hitting a ball hard just means I don't have to go and fiddle around with my swing. I know my swing's there. I don't have to make any adjustments. I may move in the batter's box. That always used to help me whenever I was struggling. That would make you make contact with the baseball in a different spot. That way, if you're hitting a lot of balls he always pulls a lot of balls, meaning Jose Bautista. If I move in the batter's box, whether I move away from the plate, if I move a little bit further forward in the plate, that just means I'm going to make contact, means I may hit the ball in a little bit different spot. That's the only thing you may see Jose Bautista do. Hitting the ball hard means nothing when you're a veteran guy. When I was a little bit older, it made me more frustrated because I wanted results. It's all about results. It's not about putting good swings on balls, you're going to eventually get hits. No, you're expected to get hits. The older you are, the more you've been around, you're one of the leaders. That Blue Jays team needs Bautista to do well. I'm sure that, you know, it's frustrating for him. He's a great hitter. He does a lot of good things at the plate. He needs these balls to leave the yard, go in the gaps, things like that. So if I have any advice, or Brooks Jacoby would have any advice whatsoever, it may be just move a little bit one way or the other at the, in the batter's box, and then go up and do what you normally do, swing hard and hopefully get a hit.
We will have tonight's Jays game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. First pitch is at 7 o'clock. As we said, it'll be Eduardo Rodriguez against Marco Estrada. Remember, tomorrow, Canada Day, a 107 first pitch. Rick Porcello on the mound for the Red Sox. Mark Burley for the Blue Jays. Don Cherry throwing out the first pitch in that game to Josh Donaldson. Speaking of which, congratulations and keep it up. Josh Donaldson has gone from being behind Mike Moustakas in the race for third base to leading the American League in all-star voting at third base. He's about 1.4 million votes up on Moustakas. So, again, keep voting in Josh Donaldson. Keep throwing your votes there. And while you're at it, maybe toss a few Jose Bautista's way, because he's actually closing the gap a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. So there you go. If everybody else is going to stuff the ballot box, what the hell? We might as well, too. And we got a whole country.
Nice going, Canada.
We got a whole country behind us. So, I mean, why not? Why not do it? Marco Estrada gets the start tonight for the Jays. Back-to-back games where he's taken a no-hitter into the eighth inning. What's been the biggest difference you've seen?
The breaking ball. I think adding the breaking ball has done a lot. I know he had trouble with the ball up. Talked about Mark Burley early in the season when he was throwing the balls up. He made an adjustment saying, if I can't get the ball down, I want to throw it up with some movement. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Estrada's done. And adding the breaking ball to make the changeup look better. You know, we see Tampa Bay having a lot of success throwing fastball changeup. And Estrada is starting to do that. Brett Cecil's made an adjustment throwing more changeups. You can
we
do
saw that.
That
last night, didn't we?
Yeah, well, he's through breaking ball. So, you know, he throw a couple of breaks. I know he throw a change up to a couple of guys, but I know he ultimately is getting to your out pitch, and adding a pitch to get to that pitch only adds different elements, makes the, you know, gets hitters off stride. That's the name of the game, is to just a little bit of inch out in front is going to get you a fly ball instead of a home run. So, you know, it's all about adjustments. Baseball is about adjustments. The guy that makes it the quickest is going to have success earlier. Estrada's doing that, and you have to take your hats off, because it is, when you've had success in the big leagues, it's very hard for a veteran guy to come in and have a guy like Pete Walker say, hey, we need to make an adjustment. Let's add a different pitch. Maybe throw a first pitch, get me over, slow breaking ball, just to add a different look. Estrada's doing that, and again, you take your hats off to older guys that do that, because it's very hard. It's very hard for veteran guys that's been around to make adjustments, because, you know, it's an ego thing. Well, why should I do that? Because it's worked in the past to not do it, but it's not working now. Let's change it to give our team a chance to win. And I don't see anything different happening tonight. You know, Estrada, I think, matches up very well with the Red Sox by the combinations he throws. And he throws enough strikes, he's going to get a lot of outs tonight.
Last night was not an easy night for Russ Martin, say the least. It seldom is when you're catching R.A. Dickey. The play at third base, which, you know, I think a lot of people will look at that play and say I don't know if you can say that play cost them the game. I don't think you can. But the fact of the matter is, in a close game, a two-run game, you can't make a base running mistake like that. Now we've got the replay on TV. You know, Luis Rivera was a little late with the stop sign.
Yeah.
But if you're Russ, you know, I mean, you got to have a little, don't you think you have to have a little more awareness there? I mean, you got to be, if you're going to round third base, you got to go home there. I mean, you just have to, there's a point where you realize, and I've actually had people tell me, this is a point where you realize you run through the stop sign.
Well, he didn't do that.
Yeah.
You know, that's Rivera having to go. Usually when they want you to stop around the bag, they'll hold their hand up, the third base coach, and point at the bag, which means we don't want you to round it. Stop at the bag. Don't get too much further away from the bag. I don't think we saw that.
No,
there.
It was both.
It was a more of a later kind of thing, which means round it hard, turn and see the ball.
Okay.
Turn and find the ball. Just so happens that happens. And Russell didn't go very far around the bag. He went basically at the cutout. That's not very far. That's how they teach you. And, you know, early in the game, I think the aggressiveness has to be there. Why okay. not? You're making a bad team. The Red Sox are a bad team because they're not playing very good defense, not getting right. timely hits, and they're doing all three phases of the game are not very good right now.
And you want to put pressure on them, I guess, but you also know that you're facing a pitcher that you have difficulty
exactly
with.
Exactly right. So, why not? What difference does it make if he gets thrown out at home? So what? It's early in the game. You know, you're pushing the envelope a little bit against a bad team right now. That's, to me, I think you have to push the envelope, let it eat, so to speak. And, you know, it's you either make the decision right away if you're the third base coach, or you say, let's go, let's push the envelope. Maybe they make a bad throw. The relays, you know, the guy turning the relay tries to be too quick, drops the ball. All kind of things can happen. But point being is you put pressure on a team that's struggling on that side of the ball, it's probably going to work out for you. Just so happens right there. You hate to see it that way. That's what I think that's what I'm trying to say is you'd rather see it. Make them throw you out at home.
The Buffalo Bisons will be playing the Gwinnett Braves tomorrow, and we will actually have that game at Sportsnet 590 The Fan tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Of course, the Jays will be playing in the afternoon against the Boston Red Sox. Daniel Norris will be on the mound for the Buffalo Bisons. Ben Wagner, Duke McGuire, and Pat Malacaro will have the call of the game, and Ben Wagner, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons, joins us on Baseball Central. Hello, Mr. Wagner.
Good afternoon. How are you guys?
We are doing well. We are doing well. Tell me now, you know, Daniel Norris's record isn't very good. I'm going to leave the record aside for a minute because I don't know how important that is. But what have you seen from Daniel Norris since he's been sent down? Because, Ben, you know, I talk to people with the Jays around the games, and no one has come out and said they're disappointed with Daniel Norris, but, you know, Matt Boyd's up here. I guess that's the best way to put it. What's up with Daniel Norris?
Well, to go back to your first point, avoid the record.
Yeah.
Because the anemic offense that's here in Buffalo, you know, has been not only hurting Daniel Norris, it's hurt Felix DeBron, it's hurt Jeff Francis, Andrew Albers, anybody that takes the ball every fifth day, those guys are getting hurt, you know, with no offensive support. So have to, first and foremost, not look at the record.
Okay.
Pay attention to the overall depth that Daniel Norris is going out there and trying to provide. And you're right. You know, you walk away from outing by outing and you think, well, that was pretty good, but it's not where he was in 2014, where you come away thinking, wow, what's the next step for this guy? Because he's dominated each and every level. And there always seems to be this year, through 10 turns in the rotation with the Bisons, one inning where he seems to get just a little bit off, whether it's mechanics, whether it's a couple of bleeders that dink their way through, or all of a sudden there's a walk magnified by another walk somewhere in the inning, and then, of course, a double, for example. So there always seems to be this glaring inning that comes back to haunt Daniel Norris at the end of an outing where it could have been great, but it's becoming just okay.
Ben, every time we do interviews and we see people talking to pitchers or whatnot, we see Randy Wolf. In your eyes, how big has Randy Wolf been for the young guys on that team and just being a coach on the field for all the young guys in that pitching staff?
From the field to even the clubhouse, and just his demeanor when he's bopping around the clubhouse, and the link to Daniel Norris not only goes from the field to the clubhouse, even on the bus ride where he sent out that viral video, you know, that went crazy, where he was doing the speed bag on the back of Daniel Norris's chair, and everybody, you know, got a kick out of that. That was pretty funny. But some of the younger guys are looking at what Randy Wolf is able to do, and there are a lot of left-handers here in Buffalo. And Daniel Norris went to the mound shortly after coming back, and he was exposed on some couple of pickoff throws and moves to first base. Well, Randy Wolf, obviously, he's got a great move. He's got the Rigetti-style move, plus he's got that classic left-handed pitcher's balk move. And you can see guys starting to sponge off of Randy and steal the way that he approaches those moves. And they're working on it from bullpen sessions to even PFPs, when they're out on the field before the ball game, working as collective units. And you see guys talking about the game with Randy, and he's not only doing that when they're on the field too, but Randy, you know, he's in the seats and he's doing the charts and they're talking about the game. So he's constantly talking with different pitchers. He's constantly talking with other players about the game and what he sees too, because he's out there not with the novel of scouting reports and statistics and breakdowns, you know, that are binder by binder stacked up on a big league bench. You're doing it with the eye test here in Buffalo, and that forces a lot of communication with these guys.
Conversation with Ben Wagner, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons on Baseball Central. We're at the stage of the season now, obviously, where general managers start talking trades. You look at the Blue Jays, Ben, it's no surprise. They've got some minor league pitching depth. It stands to reason that those are probably the guys that are going to be dangled for in a significant trade. I got to ask you this, though. You know, we've got Jeff Hoffman, Norris, and now Boyd. Anybody else that scouts are paying particular attention to at AAA?
Well, I know a couple of guys that I talked to with in terms of scouting, and while they want to see a lot of people throw, Ryan Tepera's name keeps coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Not only scouts from stateside, but also on the Pacific Rim, they've looked at Gregory Infante. Those are a couple of guys' names that you hear pretty frequently. Even Rob Rasmussen's name has come up in just casual conversation too. The way that he's got that left-handed makeup, he's got 90 mile an hour velocity as well. Hasn't got as much exposure in the big leagues this season as what he has had in the past. But those are a couple of the names that you hear more frequently coming from scouts and different organization front office members that we see traveling following the Bisons. But those are pretty much the three key names. Chad Jenkins obviously gets a lot of intrigue because he's done a couple of roles the last couple of years. The numbers this season are decent in Buffalo. But, you know, I would say he was probably a hotter commodity last year, but those are a couple of names I think Blue Jays fans will recognize right away, too.
How's Felix DeBrant doing?
Felix DeBrant is throwing the ball really well. A couple of mechanical adjustments the last few weeks have really helped him in terms of keeping the ball down in the zone. And his name was floated around, you know, the last couple of weeks as a probable to battle with the major league call-up that Matt Boyd eventually won.
Mm-hmm.
But Felix is throwing the strongest right now that he has all season long. He's gone back-to-back seven innings, and it's one thing to get there, but it's also, in talking with him yesterday, it's the way that he's feeling, the way that his body feels, the way that the shoulder feels. And he told me he's about as strong right now as he's been in the last couple of years, which I think is a great, great piece to have and an asset, really, for the Blue Jays if they need some depth.
Ben, how big of a asset, you mentioned assets, is Gary Allinson? Ben, I know he was my manager in my first year in AAA when I was with the Brewers, and he's a heck of a man. He brought a lot to just how to go out and play the game. What are you seeing every day? Because you run a lot of young guys. You know, you mentioned some older guys there, but there is some young prospects coming through Buffalo. Are they taking well to Gary accepting being in AAA, so to speak?
You know, I think his demeanor carries more weight than anything else because he's not going to get too high. He's not going to get too low. And with the way that the Bisons clubhouse has been in such flux, not only with the roster moves going from the big leagues and back to Buffalo and so forth, but also the number of guys that have had to come from AA and fill the voids while those guys leave and spend however much time at the major league roster. Guys are coming and going from our clubhouse all the time, you know, and he knows he's a player's manager. He's going to have their back when they're out on the field to play. And he's going to put them in the best situation, hopefully, if he's allowed, you know, the flexibility in terms of who's available on given days, to put them in the best situations to succeed. And I think, one, his longevity at the AAA level, going way back to when you played for them, mm-hmm. even when he was in Ottawa, way back in the early, late, you know, mid, late 1990s, all the way through all those years, you know, he's pretty much seen it all and been around as much chaos as an organization can throw in a AAA roster. And I think his ability to quell a lot of some of the bitterness that maybe a veteran that gets passed over a couple of times despite the solid numbers that he's having at AAA, but also limit the excitement and try to temper that overall excitement despite all the outside noise from some of these rising prospects. I think that's where he's the most valuable.
Ben, what to your mind separated and separates Matt Boyd from Daniel Norris right now? I mean, clearly there's a reason the Jays called up Matt Boyd. Maybe they're showcasing him. I don't necessarily buy that. I mean, everything I was told is that he was they were just more impressed with him than Daniel Norris. But what separates the two of them right now?
Consistency in the strike zone. I think that's first and foremost. Matt rarely gets burned by hurting himself. And when you go out and you're throwing not only a lot of strikes, but you're throwing what we saw in just limited two limited starts we saw, Matt Boyd goes out and he throws four pitches around the strike zone. And he's able to set up the slider he continues to work on. Of course, the fastball command is one thing that got him on the prospect radar and got him great success at the collegiate level. Now all the way through dominating Double A and got him the two starts here in Buffalo and took him to the big leagues. But it also sets up the changeup where he's consistently, 92, 93 miles an hour, can touch 94 every now and again. But those are the three big things, the consistency in the strike zone, plus then using those pitches to set up his secondary pitches to get out.
Ben, we appreciate you doing this. We'll look forward to your call of the game tomorrow night as Bison's baseball returns to Sportsnet 590 The Fan, 7 p.m. against the Gwinnett Braves. Thanks so much for doing this, Ben.
Thanks, Ben.
Awesome. Talk to you guys then.
It's Ben Wagner. You can follow him on Twitter at BenWag247. Does a terrific job as a play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bisons. And again, the Jays play tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock. We will have baseball for you on Sportsnet 590 The Fan tomorrow night. It'll be the Buffalo Bisons against the Gwinnett Braves. Daniel Norris, 1-7 with an ERA. It might be an ERE. With an ERA of 3.72 on the mound for the Buffalo Bisons. Alex White on the mound for the Braves. And Kevin, it's interesting when you talk to Ben Wagner and you get the difference between Matt Boyd and Daniel Norris in his point of view. When you couple that with the fact that we know that privately, a lot of people around the Blue Jays have a lot of concern about the velocity that Daniel Norris has or doesn't have. It's really, considering where Daniel Norris was in spring training and considering where he is now, and again, he's not getting any run support. The Buffalo lineup is horrible. I mean, it's awful. Right. It's an awful lineup. But when you look at where he is now compared to where he was in spring training, it's a pretty significant drop-off.
Well, I think the difference between the miles an hour between his secondary pitch and his fastball, he can't go to one of those. He can't set somebody up by throwing the fastball and the miles an hour difference be 10, 12, 15 miles an hour difference just because he's not throwing a fastball very hard. And that way, when he's facing other hitters, even in the minor leagues, at the Triple A level, you're facing veteran guys. When I played there, I was a veteran guy. I just eliminate one of them because you don't have to worry about, the hard snap on the breaking ball because he's not throwing the fastball by you. So just eliminate one of them. And that's the big issue, I think, especially when he comes back to the big league level. That's an issue because you're trying to set guys up. You're from one, the first time through, you may do all right. The second time through, when guys have seen the rotation on the breaking ball, the changeup, the miles an hour difference is not a whole lot. That's why you need, when you're left-handed, we talk about Brett Cecil. That difference between his fastball and his breaking ball are not a lot. That's why you see not a lot of big-time swing and misses off the breaking ball because they eliminate it. That gets back to even a starter, Daniel Norris. So, hopefully that he can get the miles an hour back up so that off-speed pitch can be better. But the one thing real quick that I took away from that is Randy Wolf. We mentioned this earlier way back a month or so ago. Being a veteran guy, it's very hard to set ego aside to help guys basically pass you over. It's very hard. I find that intriguing that a guy, that's been where he's been his career, that's going to go out of his way to help guys. And he's talking about guys, teaching guys how to pick guys off. Well, the more you teach people, the better they're going to be. That means they do better. They're going to get called up probably before you are. That's very intriguing to me. It's very interesting to hear older guys because, Randy Wolf's probably at the end. He's not going to get a whole lot more chances. It's a little different to hear that, I think.
We will be joined by Matt Boyd. We'll ask Matt Boyd about Randy Wolf. It's Baseball Central on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Network.
Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. On demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right, welcome back to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Be back on Thursday. Will not be on the air tomorrow because it is NHL Free Agent Frenzy Day. I think Barker and I are going to be down. You going down to the ballpark tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go down there before I do prime time. That'll be a 107 first pitch tomorrow, Canada Day. If you've got tickets, congratulations. I do believe the game is sold out or pretty close to being a sellout. Check, because I don't want the Blue Jays calling up and saying, stop telling people they can't get tickets.
I like how you threw that prime time in there, too.
Yeah.
That's good.
I might as well. Got to plug everybody.
But you're on it. So.
Yeah, well. Don Cherry's going to throw out the first pitch to Josh Donaldson tomorrow. Don Cherry, of course, on the Josh Donaldson bandwagon. A lot of people are on the Josh Donaldson bandwagon, want to get him voted into the All-Star game in Cincinnati. And if you have not done so, go to the MLB website. You can vote like 35 times.
It's not like you're voting for a scrub. I mean, he's one of the best players.
Yeah.
You could count on one hand how many players are probably better than he is.
Our producer, Travis McKenzie. I always forget the title. I know the name. Forget the title. Our producer, Travis McKenzie, dropped off an item for us. Very interesting, especially in light of the fact that tonight after the Jays game, we'll have the Yankees and Angels on Sportsnet Pacific. And it'll be joined in progress after Sportsnet Central and Sportsnet Ontario. We talked about this, pardon me, a little bit last year, how there were tensions between Mike Socia, the Angels manager, who's in the middle of a 10-year contract, and widely regarded as one of the best of the business, and certainly one of the most respected in the business. There were tensions between Mike Socia and Jerry DePoto, his general manager. Well, Ken Rosenthal of Fox Sports reports that on the weekend, there were a series of meetings where DePoto, Mike Socia, and the coaches, as well as Albert Pujols, apparently got into a couple of very heated discussions. Apparently, DePoto was frustrated with the failure, what he saw as the failure of Angels coaches to convey scouting information to the players. Now, DePoto met with Socia and his staff on Friday. The exchange was contentious because he asked the coaches to better communicate to the players scouting reports and statistical information provided by the front office. Then get a load of this. And Kevin, you've been in a major league clubhouse. In a separate meeting with the players, coaches, and Socia on Sunday, DePoto informed the players that they would now be given information directly by the front office. Now, this is not coming from the manager or the coaches. They would be given the information directly by the front office, and then they could decide whether or not to use it. And Albert Pujols stood up in the meeting and essentially challenged his general manager in the middle of the clubhouse. So Mike Socia, as we said, is under a has got a 10-year contract. I believe it's 10 or 8 years.
10.
10-year contract. He can opt out at the end of this season.
Yeah, right.
And here's the thing. Mike Socia, if he opts out of that contract, if he still wants to manage, there'll be people falling all over themselves to get him in.
Yeah, but he would forfeit $18 million. Would you do that?
If somebody else offers me a 4 or 5 year contract where I would almost make up that much money and be happier, hell yeah. If Mike Socia wants, I'll tell you one thing. If the team across town, the Dodgers, doesn't have a good postseason run, they would be all over Mike Socia.
It's funny that Pujols is having a good year, and now you're hearing a lot of talk between him and everybody else.
Yep. It's an interesting story, and we'll stay on top of it. And maybe we'll try to reach out to Angels people and try to get somebody on to talk about it. Matt Boyd, you saw his major league debut on Saturday, came as advertised. I had a chance to talk to John Gibbons on Sunday, and we were talking about Matt Boyd, and he said, what I really liked, he said, I love seeing a guy who looks like he belongs on the mound in the majors, who looks like he's not unimpressed, or not overly impressed, I should say, who looks like he's comfortable in that environment. And I think we certainly got that sense from Matt Boyd, and we're very pleased to be joined on Baseball Central by Matt Boyd of the Toronto Blue Jays. Matt, thank you so much for doing this. A belated congratulations on your major league debut. And Now that you've had a couple of days to think about it, what are your thoughts on what transpired Saturday?
Well, first off, thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be up here in Toronto and be part of this this awesome franchise. And looking back, I guess on Saturday, just small little things. You know, definitely don't want to wholesale change anything. I feel like you got to take the good with the bad, and just got to execute some pitches better. And when it comes down to it, you know, I got hurt when I left the ball up there with those solo shots, and those are also problems with not being ahead in the count. So if anything, just got to keep pitching off that fastball, work ahead and work down in the zone, and I think things will work out.
Yeah, Matt, I understand that Clayton Kershaw is someone you look up to. What is the one thing that you like about the Dodgers ace?
Oh, well, he's left-handed. that's a big thing. But the way he attacks hitters and the way he just kind of goes about his business on the field, it's he's kind of a guy that, he doesn't ride. You can't really tell if he's punched out 12 guys in a game or, given up, 8 runs sort of thing. So it's he's got a very, mature, calm, collected approach out there. He's just a professional the way he goes about everything he does, off the field, on the field. He's a good role model off the field and all that. And I love his repertoire too with that, that heater and that big breaking ball. He's a fun pitcher to watch.
In conversation with Matt Boyd of the Toronto Blue Jays. What do you say to yourself when you're in the mound? Because the camera caught you a couple of times. It looked like you were talking to yourself. It seemed like a pretty interesting discussion.
I know. Yeah, that's some. Yeah, well,
it's a kid show, Matt.
Yeah, out there. I'm not crazy. I promise you guys that. It's just self talk. Just more than anything, I just tell myself to keep attacking, and it's just attack, and that's just kind of a mentality I've always kind of had. And and I feel like I've kind of let up off the gas a little bit. It's just sometimes a helpful reminder. I kind of remember my pops from the dugout yelling at me when he would see that back when he was coaching me. But it's just more of a self-talk, a little reminder thing. And once in a while, it's all just little cues and little reminders when I feel something out there on the mound, and I just kind of go with it that way.
Yeah, Matt, the Bisons, you play for the Bisons, they're full of veteran left-handers. You have Jeff Francis, you have Felix DeBrant, you have Randy Wolf. What did you learn from those guys when you were there?
Man, just sitting back and just kind of watch them go about their business is more than anything. They're just, they're professionals about the way they go about everything. And, they've obviously had success at that level, but they've had success at, where I ultimately, wanted to be in the big leagues. And just kind of seeing the way they attack games and seeing the way they do their stuff off the field. And it's just, you learn about how professionals do it. And it's that kind of thing where you always hear about what they do. But when you get to see it firsthand, and especially guys that have had, a lot of success in the big leagues, and those guys, it's helpful. You kind of can step back and try to look at what you do and your game, and then look at theirs, and kind of see where your deficiencies are and things that you can take from them to make your game better and to make over, everything, just make everything better. And they were great guys, and I was only there for a few weeks, but definitely grateful for the time I got to spend with them.
Yeah, now when I was a kid, my dad told me, whenever I had trouble hitting somebody, I go up looking first pitch fastball and try to hit it as far as I could foul. That was the one thing my dad told me when I was a kid that I remembered. You mentioned your dad was your coach until college. Is there something that you remember that you will never forget that your dad either said or taught you that gets you through the hard times when you're pitching?
Always compete. That was a big thing. I mean, it was
growing up, everything was competitive, and anywhere from Candyland back when we were little kids, you know, just the ball in the backyard, everything was competing, and that's just kind of been something that he instilled in me. And you know, you never know what run is going to win or lose a ball game, you know, and that's just, you know, when kind of I gave up those solo shots and felt like, felt like on the mound, it felt like it kept happening, you know, that's just the one thing I kind of was just telling myself, like, hey, you never know what run is going to win or lose, you know, just keep competing, go out there and, you know, regardless of the day, whether it's you got your best stuff or your worst stuff, you just got to go out there and kind of fake it till you make it and keep your team in the game and just compete and go 9 innings strong and put your team in a position to win. And that's the one thing that's really stuck with me.
In conversation with Matt Boyd of the Toronto Blue Jays, when did you get a sense that you might be up in the majors this year? Was there a time when you went up to AAA that maybe you thought, okay, I'm really close here? When did you get a sense? Because you talk to guys and they'll tell you they kind of have an idea when the organization is looking at you and thinking about moving you up pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my mind, I knew that I always, you know, knew that I could do it, and it was I was just going to put myself in a position that, you know, it could happen. But kind of going back to what you said there about when I was kind of getting a inkling of it or whatnot, I wasn't trying to think of it at all this year. I mean, I knew I could do it, and if I got called on, I'd be ready. But that last year, I kind of fell into that trap when I went up to AA. I started, you know, seeing kind of the light at the end of the tunnel, per se, you know, seeing that ultimate goal, and I lost track of the present. And tried to change, and this year it's just kind of I surely just tried to, you know, just knowing that the trust in the Lord, and that regardless of, you know, he's always going to protect me, and you know that whatever happens, it's in his plans, and just try to live in the present, be grateful for the day. And you know, right now that's being grateful for, you know, getting the opportunity to wear a uniform today out at the Rogers Center. And you know, a few weeks ago it was grateful for the opportunity to go put on the Buffalo Bisons uni and go out to Coca-Cola Field. So I've just tried to live in the moment, really just be grateful for the moment and try to win each day. And that's kind of what's helped me going this year.
Hey, Matt, listen, it was fun to see you pitch on Saturday. Again, congratulations on your call-up. We look forward to doing this again and continued success.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Take care. That's Matt Boyd of the Toronto Blue Jays. Fake it.
You can't do it
till you make it.
That's funny. And if you can't do it, act like you can do it.
Yep.
That's
tremendous advice.
Words
to live by, Kevin Barker.
Well, for some of us. You know, if you're struggling out there, it says a lot. Don't look like you're struggling.
Always believe
maybe
in yourself.
Maybe you can get through some tough outs that way.
It was great of Matt to join us. He's if you talk to people around the Bisons and people around the organization, they've got an awful lot of time for him. They think he's a pretty, solid kid. I, you know, as John Gibbons said, hey, gave up solo home runs. He said, you think most times when all you do is give up solo home runs, we're probably going to win that game. I mean, you know what? Matt Boyd is with the team pitching against Texas about a week ago. He probably wins that.
Hey,
wins that game like 9-3 or something like that.
I think the window's open. Guys like that come up, they do well. They're going to be here.
John Gibbons very clear, like you said, if he keeps pitching, the thing he's got to do and the thing he's done through one start is when Aaron Sanchez comes back, make the Jays make a decision.
That's right.
Maybe they keep you. Maybe Aaron goes to the bullpen. But make them make a decision, and Matt Boyd's going to get at least one more chance to do that. And I wouldn't bet against him being around here for a while.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet against him being around here for a while. That's it for Baseball Central today. Don't forget, we'll be back Thursday. Tomorrow is NHL Free Agent Frenzy Day. Barker and I are going to be down at the ballpark. For Kevin Barker, Ben Wagner, Matt Boyd, I'm Jeff Blair saying thanks for joining us in Baseball Central. Enjoy the game tonight, everybody, and happy Canada Day.